Trump provokes Tehran with divisive message on Middle East future. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde. And number 9,650, Trump posted a Truth Social message on May 23 depicting a U.S. flag superimposed over Iran and hashtag X27S map, creating strategic ambiguity just hours after both Washington and Tehran signaled negotiations were approaching a breakthrough. On the same day, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio told CBS News an update on talks could come in hashtag X27, shortly, and hashtag X27, while Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Esmael Baghaei said the two sides were in hashtag X27, currently working to finalize in hashtag X27, a memorandum of understanding with in hashtag X27, opinions converging. And hashtag X27, the post has injected the deepest strategic ambiguity yet into a fragile negotiation framework, raising uncertainty about whether the Trump administration wants a deal or confrontation with Iran. A single Truth Social post by President Donald Trump on May 23, depicting a U.S. flag superimposed over the map of Iran, has injected the deepest strategic ambiguity yet into a fragile negotiation framework that both Washington and Tehran had signaled, hours earlier, was approaching a breakthrough. The timing compresses every risk premium in the region into a single question: does the Trump administration want a deal, or does it want Iran? The answer matters more to institutional capital today than at any point since the conflict began on February 28. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio told CBS News on the same day that an update on the talks could be coming shortly, and Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Esmael Baghaei said the two sides were currently working to finalize a memorandum of understanding, with opinions converging. Trump himself told CBS News both sides were getting a lot closer. Yet within the same news cycle, the president posted an image that Johns Hopkins University professor of International Affairs and Middle East Studies Vali Nasser described on X as a declaration that Trump wants to turn Iran into an American property, adding that it is this kind of grotesque behavior that undermines diplomacy and unites Iranians in defense of their country. The ceasefire pause is held since early April, when Trump threatened that an entire civilization will die if Iran refused a deal. Hours after that statement, both sides agreed to a pause in fighting. The pause has survived several flare-ups, but U.S. forces continue to blockade Iranian ports, and Tehran has effectively closed the Strait of Hormuz. The White House did not respond to a request for comment on the Truth Social post. That silence is its own data point. The post does not exist in a vacuum. The Trump administration has maintained publicly that it does not seek a prolonged occupation of Iran, nor is it seeking outright regime change, though it has acknowledged it would welcome such change as a byproduct of the military campaign. The flag over map image contradicts both positions simultaneously, a tension that any counterparty negotiating a memorandum of understanding cannot ignore. The Strait of Hormuz is the market mechanism everyone is mispricing. Tehran's effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz is not a symbolic gesture. It is the transmission channel through which this conflict is repricing assets in markets that have no direct exposure to Iran or Israel. Mexico's 12-month inflation reached 4.45% in April, according to INEGI, the National Statistics Agency. The cost of Mexico's basic urban food basket rose 8.1% in March, outpacing headline inflation by a wide margin. Fuel and fertilizer costs, driven by Hormuz shipping disruptions, are the proximate cause, according to Elvira Pasillas, professor at the Western Institute of Technology and Higher Education, IDESO. Low-income households in Mexico already spend nearly 70% of their earnings on food. Mexico's GDP fell 0.8% in the first quarter, and the informal labor rate stood at 54.8% in March. The channel from a Middle East military standoff to a Monterrey wholesale food market is short and direct. Disrupted tanker routes inflate global fuel and fertilizer costs, which travel through agricultural input prices into consumer staples within weeks, not quarters. For EM-focused institutional investors, this is not a tail risk. It is current P&L. The U.S. Federal Reserve is watching the same channel. The Fed held its benchmark rate at between 3.5% and 3.75% in April, and economists now expect rates to remain there for the remainder of 2026, with some forecasting an increase. Newly sworn in Fed Chair Kevin Warsh faces a Fed that has explicitly cited the U.S.-Israel war in Iran and its impact on inflation as a reason to delay expected rate cuts. Our view: every week the Strait of Hormuz remains disrupted adds incremental probability to a rate higher for longer scenario in the U.S. That scenario reprices duration assets globally and compresses the multiple expansion story that underpins much of the 2026 private equity deployment thesis. India is the pivot state and Rubio knows it. On the same day Trump posted his flag image, Rubio was in New Delhi for a four-day visit, the first stop of which included a ribbon cutting for a new U.S. embassy wing and a meeting with Prime Minister Narendra Modi. The two sides agreed to deepen trade and defense cooperation and accelerate collaboration on critical and emerging technologies, according to the State Department. The visit is substantively about energy. India has been hit hard by the Hormuz closure and has continued purchasing Russian oil, a practice that triggered a U.S. tariff doubling to 50% on Indian goods. Rubio arrived in New Delhi expected to push Modi toward U.S. and Venezuelan crude as alternative supply. Trump and Modi had previously announced an agreement that India would begin pivoting away from Russian oil, but the war disrupted the trajectory. The Quad, the grouping of the U.S., Japan, Australia, and India originally created in response to China's regional power, was scheduled to meet as the capstone of Rubio's trip. The meeting follows Trump's visit to Beijing in early May, which produced mutual praise but no concrete agreements. China's reaction to any strengthened Quad posture is a secondary geopolitical variable that Indian equity and bond investors are already pricing. The implication: India is simultaneously a pressure point for U.S. energy policy, a swing vote in the Quad architecture, and an economy whose energy cost structure depends directly on whether the Strait of Hormuz reopens. Rubio's visit is the diplomatic hedge to Trump's Truth Social provocation. The two moves are not contradictory. They are the administration's standard operating procedure, maximum pressure paired with visible off-ramps. The Donroe Doctrine is rewriting the global influence map for capital allocators. Trump's Truth Social post on Iran landed alongside a separate image of his face peering over a mountain range in Greenland, captioned "Hello, Greenland." The two posts share a strategic logic the administration has formalized as the Donroe Doctrine, a deliberate reference to the 1823 Monroe Doctrine, which sought to reduce European influence in the Western Hemisphere. The Donroe Doctrine, as practiced, includes the military abduction of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, continued threats against Cuba, and repeated vows to take control of Greenland. The Iran flag post extends that logic eastward. Whether or not the administration intends it as policy, markets read presidential social media as signal. The post's publication during active ceasefire negotiations is either a negotiating tactic or an error. Neither interpretation is price neutral. For Gulf Cooperation Council investors, the United States of the Middle East? Framing reopens the most destabilizing question in the region's post-1991 security architecture: what does Washington actually want? Gulf sovereign wealth funds have spent the post-Abraham Accords period deploying capital on the assumption of a managed U.S. drawdown from direct military engagement. That assumption is now subject to revision. Our view: the Donroe Doctrine is not just a geopolitical curiosity. It is a valuation input. Sovereign risk premiums in any country that Washington has publicly identified as a target, Iran explicitly, Venezuela operationally, Greenland rhetorically, need to be stress-tested against a scenario where U.S. influence means something more permanent than diplomatic pressure. Uruguay shows what normalcy looks like when the smoke clears against this backdrop. One data point from the Southern Cone deserves institutional attention. Uruguay this week captured 63% of the annual zero-tariff rice quota granted by the European Union to Mercosur under the association agreement that entered provisional force on May 1. The total quota for the current year stands at 6,667 tons. Uruguay's acting Foreign Minister Valeria Siasucasi confirmed the figure. President Yamandu Orsi celebrated the milestone publicly. The quota expands progressively to 60,000 tons annually within 5 years, in increments of 10,000 tons per year. Uruguay's rice sector historically accounts for more than 50% of Mercosur's total rice exports, with an annual flow of close to 200,000 tons. Uruguayan rice exports paid approximately $10 million in tariffs in 2023, a burden the new agreement reduces materially. The competitive moat is regulatory. Uruguay is the only Mercosur member whose rice production fully meets EU sanitary requirements, a decisive advantage identified by Alfredo Lago, former president of the Rice Growers Association. The EU-Mercosur agreement was signed on January 17 in Asunción. The implication: while Hormuz disruptions inflate food costs globally, the EU-Mercosur trade architecture is quietly creating durable export advantages for compliant producers. For agri-focused private equity funds with Southern Cone exposure, Uruguay's rice sector is a case study in regulatory moat construction at the national level. The Plaquemines view the market is treating Trump's Truth Social post as noise. Plaquemines treats it as signal, specifically a signal about the negotiation endgame. Here is the thesis the source articles do not make: the United States of the Middle East? Post is not a mistake and it is not a negotiating tactic in isolation. It is the administration rehearsing its post-deal narrative for a domestic audience. If a memorandum of understanding with Iran is imminent, as both Rubio and Baghi suggested on May 23, Trump needs a political frame that lets him claim maximum victory. Superimposing the U.S. flag over Iran is that frame, built in advance of the deal, not in opposition to it. The second order read, a deal, if it comes, will be sold domestically as U.S. dominance, not U.S. compromise. That framing creates its own instability. An agreement that Tehran accepts as a practical ceasefire but that Washington markets as territorial conquest will face ratification pressure in Iran that no foreign minister can fully manage. For capital allocators, the three-scenario matrix is now, 1. Deal reached within days, Hormuz reopens partially, energy prices correct sharply, EM equities rally, Fed rate cut expectations revive. 2. Deal collapses on optics after Trump's post, conflict resumes, oil above prior highs, Fed holds or hikes, duration assets reprice. 3. Prolonged limbo, current blockade and Hormuz disruption continue, slow burn inflation embedded in EM food costs, political instability in import-dependent economies deepens. Scenario 3 is underpriced. Mexico's GDP contraction, 54.8% informal labor, and food basket inflation at 8.1% are not temporary shocks. They are compounding. The political consequences of compounding food inflation in an economy with majority informal employment are not measured in quarters. The Rubio India visit is the most institutionally important diplomatic event of the week, not the Truth Social post. A strengthened U.S.-India Quad axis, combined with a ceasefire that leaves the Hormuz question unresolved, restructures Indo-Pacific energy security permanently. That restructuring has direct implications for LNG infrastructure investment, for deepwater capex in non-Hormuz supply chains, and for the relative attractiveness of Atlantic Basin energy assets. Position accordingly. The bottom line: Trump's May 23 Truth Social post has done something no single battlefield development in 85 days of conflict has achieved. It has forced every counterparty, allied and adversarial, to reassess whether Washington's stated objectives match its actual intentions. Rubio's simultaneous signal of imminent progress in Iran talks and his visit to New Delhi to repair energy trade ties with India confirm that the administration is running parallel tracks. The institutional risk is not the post itself. It is the gap between what Washington says in diplomatic channels and what the president posts in public. That gap is where ceasefire deals die. Plaquemines' forward-looking call: if a memorandum of understanding is signed within the next 7 days, the primary beneficiaries are Indian energy importers, EM central banks holding rate decisions in abeyance, and agri-commodity consumers across Latin America. If the deal stalls, the slow-burn inflation scenario in Mexico and analogous EM economies becomes the dominant macro theme of Q3 2026, with compounding political consequences that institutional portfolios have not fully stress-tested.